WCTC with the Restaurant Guys. Call them now at 732-545-9282. 732-545-9282.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Mark Pascal, here with Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to bring you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach through restaurantguysradio.com or receive our podcasts on iTunes.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Francis.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, man.
I had an interesting day on Saturday night. As you know, I took off from the restaurant.
Congratulations to you.
And we catered a party for my sister's birthday.
Uh-huh.
What restaurant
did you use to cater it?
I used our new restaurant, which is not yet open. I used the staff from Catherine Lombardi Restaurant, which is busily practicing our Italian-American food.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my sister's birthday. If I tell you which birthday, I'll be disowned on the radio.
It was a big one, though.
It was a big one, and we had a great time. And it was a very interesting, very New Jersey party. Because it was my sister's...
Very interesting, very New Jersey.
And here's why. All of my Irish cousins...
There was a lot of traffic?
All of my Irish cousins have married... Well, most of my Irish cousins have married Italian-American men, right?
Okay.
And so there's this great, you know... And my father was made the Deputy Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in West Orange several years back. And it's funny, you know, the O'Hara Association walked by, and all these Irish people walking down the street. And my dad's little family contingent that walks behind the Deputy Grand Marshal...
Uh-huh.
Half Italian. Definitely half Italian. All these olive-skinned guys named Liam.
Columbus Day is not really a big holiday.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a holiday that we aggrandize because we're upset that you guys get so excited about St. Patrick's Day.
Did you know that in Orange, New Jersey, that used to be the two parades a year? There was a St. Patrick's Day parade and there was a Columbus Day parade.
Mm.
And it was just because you Italians are jealous.
That's exactly it. Columbus Day is as big for us because we're jealous. You got a big old day where you guys go out and have fun.
They painted a green line down the street. Still, the West Orange St. Patrick's Day parade in West Orange, New Jersey is amazing. And they paint a green line down the street along the double yellow line down Main Street. How small town is that? That fades.
Amazing is the word you use to describe this day.
That's great.
Okay.
Oh, it is amazing.
All right.
It's better than Christmas in my family. So the green line, it's like there's a double yellow line and then another green line. People from other places are like, what does that mean? It's not a traffic thing. It's a parade route. But when I was a kid, there used to be a purple line painted down the other side.
Purple.
Because the Italians wouldn't march down the green line. They had to have a purple. you had to have your own line. So I was at this party and we had it catered. And it was great because it was the best of both ethnicities.
Okay.
I hired a piper.
Uh-huh.
And so we had Irish music and Italian food.
That's awesome.
And that's the only way to do it.
Well, the other way around doesn't work.
No.
Irish food and Italian music.
Yeah, there are all sorts of opera fans and fans of Lamb that are going to be writing us in from across the world. Go ahead, send me the emails. I don't care. Did you see the front page of the Saturday New York Times?
I did see the front page of the Saturday New York Times.
There's a breaking article.
Earth-shattering front page article on the New York Times.
With a large full-color picture of a pumpkin patch.
Mm-hmm.
This is a food show, after all. Pick your own pumpkins. Some pumpkins at Hank's Pumpkin Town in Watermill, New York, evidently were placed there in the patch after having been picked elsewhere. Warning to parents, the following could be disturbing to children who believe in the Great Pumpkin, or at least Great You Pick It Pumpkin Patch. Look closely at the so-called pumpkin patches, those flashy roadside attractions with corn mazes, wagon rides, spooky decorations, and other sort of debauchery.
Okay, hold on. You know how I feel about local food and local ingredients.
No. You can go off in a minute. I want the whole story out there so everyone knows.
Go ahead.
Chances are the stems of those pumpkins, have you ever noticed, are broken off. And the farmer will tell you that is because they're too difficult to break off the stems.
Evil, evil farmer.
Nary a pumpkin is attached to its vine, right? Some farmers will tell you they purposefully clip their pumpkins off the vine as a service to customers, making it easier and safer for them to select and walk off with a pumpkin that is perfect for them, not necessarily so. Many of those alleged pumpkin patches are fields, staged to catch a child's eye. The pumpkins are trucked in, laid out artfully, and there you have it. Curb Coletta Pepo and its corpulent cousin. Well, whatever. There we go. There we have it. The pumpkins are actually placed there at night after the little kiddies go home.
Who cares?
First Santa Claus, then the Tooth Fairy, now this.
Who cares? Front page of the New York Times. Who cares?
That must have been a slow news day.
Slow news day is what it had to be.
So,
okay. Now, what I was about to say before is, okay, we're constantly saying, okay, local food, local produce.
Local jack-o'-lantern? I don't care.
Okay, what's the difference? Okay.
The article, it really was a slow day because it goes to the jump, right? The jump is where, well, there's another huge picture, right?
And Somebody spent too much time on this article. We're spending too much time on this article.
No, this is just ridiculous enough for us to talk. It takes you to the pumpkin auction. Evidently, the Hightstown Wholesale Produce Auction in New Jersey has auctioned off more than 100 tons of pumpkins this year that these so-called pumpkin patchers take home and place in their pumpkin patches at the end of the night.
Okay.
And they, like, artfully arrange them to look like they were.
All right, let me explain something to everybody. Pumpkins are one of those high-intensity crops. They take a lot of
water.
They take a lot of nourishment out of the ground. You shouldn't plant pumpkins in the same field 2 or 3 years in a row. Okay? So if you're going back to the same pumpkin patch year after year after year, somebody's depleting the land. Somebody's doing something wrong. What we've done here is we're getting pumpkins from elsewhere so that those farmers can still do your kids can still do their pumpkin picking and play in their corn maze and do the whole thing and go on their hayride and have a good time.
It's a scandal. It's just a scandal.
When my kid carves
a smiley face into a pumpkin, I want to know that it's keeping
I
a local farmer on the farm.
I want to know that it's from Von Thun's farm in South Brunswick.
All right, enough of that.
Yes, too much of that, actually. We care too much about that.
More ridiculousness in the news. Did you see this latest lawsuit against the dairy industry? 10 area residents are demanding the dairy industry. This is from the Washington Times. 10 area residents are demanding the dairy industry put warning labels on milk cartons for lactose intolerant customers.
How about if we do it this way?
Don't
drink milk if you're lactose intolerant. How's that? Are we done now? Can we be done with this?
This is seriously a lawsuit. Different people who've bought milk want milk to have a label, a warning, are suing to get a warning label on milk that says lactose intolerant people don't drink milk.
No. They are suing for, and I quote, unspecified money awards for the pain and suffering experienced from drinking milk.
Sometimes when you're a freaking idiot, you have pain and suffering, okay? And that's not the dairy industry's fault.
I'm suing the bees because I'm allergic to bee stings.
That's exactly
right. I'm suing them.
You see, all the bees should have to have a little warning on their butts. You know, every house in America should have a sign on the inside of the door that says, don't go outside, there might be a bee.
Rain should come with a warning saying, this may cause wetness.
Okay, listen, if you're an idiot and you're lactose intolerant, find a smart friend who will keep you away from, will tell you that lactose intolerant people don't drink milk.
Dude, that white stuff, it's milk. Don't drink it.
Don't drink the milk. That's that old Little Rascals one. You remember that Little Rascals
episode? Don't drink the milk. It's spoiled.
All right, so, you know, we're all for consumer freedoms. We're all for truth in labeling.
But
this is just stupid, okay? Milk is milk. If you're lactose intolerant, don't drink it. And if you are lactose intolerant and you're stupid enough to drink it, it'll cull the species. You'll stay at home with stomach cramps. You're less likely to reproduce, and the species is better. And that's all we have to say about it. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:50.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey 1450, WCTC with The Restaurant Guys.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. We were talking a moment ago right before the break about the most recent lawsuit, which has been brought by customers who want to get money because they drank milk even though they were lactose intolarant, and then their tummy felt bad. We say don't label the milk, and you know here's the deal. They say up to 25% of the adult population may be at least somewhat lactose intolerant. And Mark, you had some issues with that.
Oh yeah, I should remind everybody.
Why don't you tell people how you solved it? Mark was crippled.
I was exactly for around 27, 28 years old. I became lactose intolerant, and I started taking alfalfa pills, and I started taking them from a company. Called Shackley, you know, not an endorsement for Shackley, but I started taking these alfalfa pills, and I take 5 in the morning, 5 at night, and went from literally being housebound.
Don't want to be too far away from the bathroom.
Exactly, just being housebound.
Couldn't take that job the extra 20 minutes away.
Yeah, so to, you know, being able to eat literally anything I want. I can eat anything I want now, pizza, ice cream, You name it.
I have to say, being Mark's partner and having eaten with him from like 19 years old to 27 when he started to become lactose intolerant. And then you found, what was that stuff he used to take?
Lactate. The pills for lactose.
And then Mark used it for lactate, which did a decent job, but you have to take that when you eat the lactate.
Right, so I'd have a little puddle of pills on the table.
And Mark's a big guy who eats a lot of food, so he'd have like bottles and bottles. He'd buy it in bulk, you know. And that's the funniest joke ever played on Mark by a waiter was, we were sitting in the restaurant, you know, we eat in the restaurant a lot, and they brought out a pile of lactate pills on a silver platter from Mark as part of the amuse-bouche.
Sure, you're a dude.
But this it's alfalfa. It's from Shackley. You can't buy it online.
It is, but you can actually buy it online.
Oh, you can?
Shackley has representatives online. Also, but it's just alfalfa, okay? The real ingredients in this are alfalfa and spearmint. And alfalfa, you could literally eat alfalfa. You can just take, you could buy bunches of alfalfa, eat it. It's a digestive aid, and it helps your body digest food. And it's very simple. It's got no real characteristics to it. Mark had lactose intolerance bad.
I mean, you know, we eat cheese. We have to eat cream as part of our living. And speaking as the guy who was on the plane with Mark and driving in the car with me, I want to thank the alfalfa makers of America.
That would be God.
Shackley. I want to thank Shackley for getting it to you.
I even purchased pills from other companies. As long as you're buying straight alfalfa, plain alfalfa, I take a bunch in the morning, a bunch at night. That's it. I'm done. Again, I can eat whatever I want, and I feel a lot better.
Well, here's the deal. Lactose intolerance, which affects about 25% of the U.S. adult population, is an inability to digest significant amounts of lactose, the main sugar, in milk. So don't drink milk, you idiot. Common symptoms include nausea, cramps, bloating, gas, and diarrhea. Ow. Which begin about 30 minutes to 2 hours after eating or drinking foods with a lot of lactose. Again, I say, don't label the milk. If you're lactose intolerant and you're dumb enough to drink milk anyway without using Shackley alfalfa or lactaid, then you won't die, but you will be kept housebound and less likely to reproduce and will cull the species.
What is really funny about this, we're poking a lot of fun at this, but if you're going to put a labeling law on for lactose intolerance, put the law on the things that have milk in them.
Right.
Because maybe I don't know that you've made this smoothie has cream in it. Okay. Maybe I don't know that.
I'm sorry. You got to ask. I'm sorry. There's certain
things. I agree.
If you're
allergic, it's your responsibility to ask. But okay. But I would be much more tolerant to something like that than the drink that we have, the beverage that we have, that is mostly lactose.
Right. You can think of lactose intolerance as an allergy to milk.
Okay, almost exactly.
That's what you can think of it as.
Exactly.
Oh, so, I drank the milk that I was allergic to, and I had a bad reaction.
If you know what lactose is, you definitely know what milk is.
Okay? Exactly. Like, where do you find lactose mostly? Well, I want to talk a little bit more about something a little different. There's where I think the consumer labeling thing has gone a little too far.
You are a little different.
Well, here's an organization that I found online when doing some research for another show. And, boy, this made me angry.
We mentioned this website in a show last week.
And I want to communicate it to you, and I want to communicate it to you very clearly. And I would love if we do one good work this month, it would be to get people to understand this website and the damage it's doing. This is disinformation. This is Soviet-era propaganda. This is
Soviet-era propaganda.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's absolutely horrible. And it's from an industry, an agribusiness industry, that has the FDA, which is the Agriculture Department, which are the industries that are supposed to regulate this industry, has them by the throat. Okay, Monsanto officials sit in high positions in this industry, and they work for Monsanto for 6 years, then they go back to heading up the FDA, then they go back to Monsanto, then they go back to the Agriculture Department, then they go back. I mean, so there's a real revolving door,
little web of deceit too.
And if you want to learn more about this, you can go to our website and find information on the film by Deborah Coons Garcia, which is a documentary about farming that talks a lot about this.
It's called The Future of Food.
And Deborah Coons Garcia is Jerry Garcia's wife, and she has this amazing documentary that's playing in small film houses around the country, and will be released on DVD around Christmas time of 2005. So, but the website is stoplabelinglies.com, and it pretends to be a consumer information organization. Mm-hmm. It pretends to be, and this is how I found it, it pretends to be an organization that works for truth in labeling. What it actually does is it tries to take organic dairies and dairies that don't use hormones and reduce pesticides, and keep them from being able to put that on the label. Let's be clear about something. Mm-hmm. The agribusiness industry doesn't want milk producers who don't use recombinant bovine growth hormone to be able to put that on the label.
One of the things that Francis and I fight against all the time, okay, is not being able. There are these big companies that are trying to stop you from being able to put something on the label that says you're doing something special, that says you're doing something extraordinary to promote safety or health or whichever. And if you're not putting hormones into your milk, I want to know about that. If you're testing for mad cow disease...
Or at least
disease,
I want you to have the right to put that on the label
exactly.
if you want.
Exactly. If you're testing for mad cow disease, you should be able to put that... First of all, you should be able to do it. It shouldn't be illegal like it is now. But you should be able to put that on your label for your meat and sell it for a higher profit because you're doing something extraordinary. And agribusiness doesn't want you to be able to do that.
And one of the ways that agribusiness has throttled the FDA is if anyone puts on their milk carton that they're not using synthetic hormones, it must be accompanied by a label, a disclaimer that says no difference has been shown between milk derived from RBST supplemented or treated cows and non-supplemented cows. In other words, there's the equal time doctrine if you're against what, mm-hmm. if you want to put your label on there, but people can treat with RBST and not put it
on the label. And that's the big issue.
And there are some really disturbing facts about how these people are spreading lies in the name of truth, and we're going to talk about that in a moment and how it affects you and the purchases you may make in the market. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:25.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, 1450 WCTC.
Hey, you're back with The Restaurant Guys. Mark Pascal and Francis Schott from Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey, and also Catherine Lombardi Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick, New Jersey. And we're talking about a website called StopLabelingLies.com, which is a website that pretends to be a consumer organization that's out there, you know, working in the interest of agribusiness, of big agribusiness, and working against consumers. That's StopLabelingLies.com. Things like when they've listed all these dairies that are trying to do good things and in response to consumer demand, free market, right? People want milk that does not use recombinant bovine growth hormone.
And recombinant bovine growth hormone is for those of you who don't listen to the show every day, is a hormone that they give cows in order for them to produce more milk.
Well, makes them grow, makes them produce more
makes
milk.
Makes them grow faster, makes them produce higher quantities of milk. But what it does is it reduces the time that the cow lives, shortens its lifespan, and as well it adds all these hormones, which some people are speculating get into the milk and get into our kids.
But there is no test that can prove the presence of the hormone in milk. But there's no test that can prove that it's not in the milk either. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you know, listen, we deal with artisanal cheeses, right? Small dairies. And when you deal with these artisanal cheeses and these small dairies, when you're dealing with real cheese, they're like, oh, well, it's the spring, so the goats are eating this, and that's why the cheese tastes different, okay? If the type of grass can get through to the milk and the taste, mm-hmm. and I'm not exactly sure. And you know what? I'm a consumer. If I want my milk from a cow that is not treated with that product, then what's your problem?
Francis,
I got a dairy that's willing to produce it. I'm willing to buy it. What's the problem?
You're a human being, okay? When a mother is nursing, we tell her she can eat certain things and she shouldn't, and she should avoid other things.
Right.
Okay? We know that caffeine affects the baby.
Right. Well, and you know what?
But so why do we think that the things that we give to the cows aren't going to get into the cow milk?
But the other thing is also, Mark, there are mothers who go too far. Like in Europe, you drink a glass or two of wine a day mm-hmm. if you're pregnant. I mean, they think we're crazy over here. Mm-hmm. And you know, and probably a glass or two of wine a day has no terrible effect on the fetus.
Sure.
Maybe it does. Who knows? But as a consumer, you get to make a choice. Mm-hmm. As a free individual, you get to make a choice. Do I not care whether they use synthetic hormones on my cow, on my meat, my beef, and my milk? Maybe I don't care. Maybe I do care when it comes to my kids.
Maybe I'd rather save a dollar a pound and not have it and have the RGBH.
But what's wrong with labeling it properly? Okay, mm-hmm. StopLabelingLies.com does is they go and they attack these dairies and they'll do things like they'll say if a dairy says this is from cows not treated with RGBH, they say this is misleading because there's no difference in the milk. It didn't say there was a difference in the milk. It said mm-hmm. the cows didn't have RGBH, and there's nothing wrong with that. And they get pretty nasty after that, and we'll talk about that more in a moment or two. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:30.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. You're here with Mark Pascal and Francis Schott. Together, we own Stage Left Restaurant in New Brunswick, New Jersey. We're here to give you the inside track on food, wine, and the finer things in life. You can listen to us every day from 11 to noon. Reach us through restaurantguysradio.com or receive our podcast from iTunes.
Hey there, Mark.
Hey, Francis.
We were talking before the break about this evil website called StopLabelingLies.com. StopLabelingLies.com pretends to be a consumer advocacy truth in labeling website, and I think
the irony there is we couldn't find who was behind this website.
Yeah, exactly.
Search as we may.
We wanted to get them on the show.
We couldn't
for
find
an unfriendly interview.
and there's nobody there.
There's
nobody there. We knocked. There's an empty door behind that door. There is nothingness.
You know, because if you go to consumer organizations and consumer information websites, you can always find someone. A lot of the guests of our show, whether it's from a company or whether it's either side of the coin, this is from nobody. This is a StopLabelingLies.com by anonymous, right? So here's the deal: the way that the food industry, the agribusiness industry, is wrestled the control of the FDA, which is supposed to regulate them. When you put on your label something that says that you haven't used synthetic hormones, you have to put no difference has been shown between milk derived from RBST supplemented cows and non-supplemented cows. Supplemented, that's a nice word, isn't it? Why don't we use contaminated, okay, instead of supplemented?
Well, now you're being just as bad as they are.
What I'm saying is I obviously don't believe in using the word contaminated, but what I'm saying is supplemented is the opposite of contaminated. You know, when you add these hormones to milk, you're not supplementing the milk. It sounds like it's a vitamin or something. Check this out. They target several dairies, and the way I look at this is use their website to find the dairies that are doing this and send those dairies mail that said, I found your dairy on StopLabelingLies.com, and I think they're despicable.
Some of the best dairies in the country are on this list. Okay, places like Ronnybrook Farms, Humboldt Creamery, Tillamook Dairy, some of the best dairies in the country are on this list.
And so what I want to do is I want you out there in consumer land to tell all your friends to go to StopLabelingLies.com, and they have a list of all the dairies they criticize, and I want you to use that as a list of dairies that are doing good things, because if StopLabelingLies.com is going after them, it means that they're doing some good things. And there's some big dairies on there as well, like Land O'Lakes is on there.
Mm-hmm.
And these big companies also need to hear from us, the consumers, to say, we're not going to be scared away by these tactics. We're smarter than that.
And your farmland dairy, and some of your stuff is hormone-free and some of your stuff isn't hormone-free. Make more of the hormone-free stuff. That's what we're interested in. And if they hear from us, they'll change. We are changing. Okay, there's a shortage of hormone-free milk right now because supply is not keeping up with demand. We're demanding more hormone-free milk. Well, what's going to happen from that? More hormone-free milk will come into the pipeline, and because we're willing to pay a little bit more for it, and more that will happen.
And the big companies are saying, well, there's no difference between hormone-free milk and non-hormone-free milk. Okay, well, there's no difference. So what? I still want the hormone-free milk.
Now, I'll pay an extra dollar a gallon for it.
Let me give you another example of a way that they attack. They attack Naturally Iowa Dairy, which is very committed. Naturally Iowa Dairy states, each of the dairy farmers who produce raw milk for a Naturally Iowa label meets or exceeds the high expectations of the FDA and the Iowa Department of Land and Stewardship, and also a reduction of pesticide usage, soil and water conservation. They're about safe and fair working conditions, wildlife habitat conservation, and their livestock is fed with no antibiotics, no growth hormones, and only organically produced feed. How the animals are raised with regular access to outdoors and grazing pastures, and how sick animals are treated, and they treat with authorized medication and only sick animals. And the way that agribusiness works in general is they put antibiotics in the food. 90% of the antibiotics produced in the country are not used on humans. They're put in animal feed. Or to treat animals, they're put in animal feed.
That's crazy.
I may have the percentage wrong. I'll put the right percentage on the website.
It is. I think you're a little high, but it's a ridiculous number.
Okay. Reduction. Now, what they state is, this is where Stop Labeling Lies says that the Naturally Iowa Dairy is wrong. It says, reduction of pesticide usage is that's a misleading label because milk is not sold from cows. I'm sorry. Wait a second. Reduction of pesticide. There are no pesticides added to any milk or dairy products.
Yeah, we don't feed the cow pesticides. We put it on the apple.
Well, no, this doesn't even say we don't feed the cow pesticides, because we do feed the cow pesticides because we use pesticides on the food that the cow eats.
Of course.
The cow eats the pesticides. This says reduction of pesticide usage means misleading. There are no pesticides added to any milk product. Nobody, we know that we don't put pesticides in the milk. We're not idiots. And we know that what they mean by that is there's less pesticide used on the feed that you give to the cows.
Yeah. If this all comes down to my basest emotion of don't try and deceive me.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what they're doing. They're trying to deceive us, and I just can't stand that. It just makes me crazy.
And they're trying to and they're trying to muzzle people who are saying good things. Or if you don't believe that, if you don't think it matters, then buy the other milk.
I think that's really the point. And that's the point that Francis and I are making here is that if it doesn't matter to you, then go buy the other stuff. Who cares?
But why do you not want to let somebody put on a label what I want to read?
Yeah.
You know? Okay, let's check this out. The other thing they label as misleading is it says no hormones. All milk produced by cow, because the label says no, what does it say? It says no.
Hormone-free.
No, it says no growth hormones is what the label says. And so in StopLabelingLies.com, the way they lie is they say misleading. It says no hormones. All milk produced by cows contains hormones in support of the normal biology of a cow. There's no such thing as hormone-free milk. I'm not talking about the hormones found in milk.
Right. I'm not talking about the cow's hormones. Okay, I'm talking the ones you put in it.
The one you manufactured on Route 9 in New Jersey, on Exit 9 of the or Exit 13 on the New Jersey Turnpike in New Jersey. No hormones. You know, we years ago wanted to, and we now carry. It's not in all of our milk products because we can't guarantee we're all the cream, and we sometimes use condensed milk or whatever that has milk products in it. But the milk we buy for cream and ingredients and so forth is free of synthetic hormones. We buy almost always organic milk, and when we tried to find. This is back in a prior gubernatorial administration here in Jersey. We tried to find a list of dairies that were producing milk without hormones. And we called the State Department of Agriculture. Now, again, we've had nothing but cooperation from the Department of Agriculture in the state of New Jersey for the last several years. But many years ago, when we started to do this, about 8 years ago, and I got some toady who was like an undersecretary of the Department of Agriculture, somebody high up, right? And he said, well, there's no hormone-free milk. All milk has hormones. I know all milk has hormones, you idiot.
Here's my problem again. He wasn't an idiot. He was toeing the party line.
Right.
And what he was telling you was, I don't want to tell you the information you want because it may change your buying decisions.
Exactly. Well, why this StopLabelingLies.com is particularly reprehensible is because they are pretending to be a consumer organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, go try and contact. Go to the Contact Us side. There's nothing there, everybody. There's nobody who'll call you back because we tried. Okay, so in the fairness doctrine, they're welcome to come on the show. I'd love to have them on the
show.
Love to talk to you. So if you're listening and you're all upset, come on the show. Call me. We'll set it up. We'll have you on. We'll have you down to the studio. The other thing they say is...
Of course, you'll be the first people we berate on our show.
It won't be the first. They'll be the first we berate
in person.
Yeah.
Sure.
The other thing they say is a reduction of pests. The other thing they say is no antibiotics, which means they don't put antibiotics in the feed. And here it says in StopLabelingLies.com, milk is not sold from cows when undergoing treatment with antibiotics. That's correct. When you have a sick cow that's undergoing treatment with antibiotics, they don't sell the milk from that cow.
Mm-hmm.
However, they put antibiotics in all the feed of the cows, and that's not considered treatment, but they're still getting the antibiotics inside them. So StopLabelingLies.com.
It's just false. Okay, these are just falsehoods.
You need to go to StopLabelingLies.com. You need to pick
out... And tell them to stop lying.
And you need to... Well, they're not going to listen, but you need to pick out the dairies that they target, that they're assaulting, and you need to send those dairies emails saying you support them and you're more likely to buy their product. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:45.
Central Jersey Talk Radio, Central Jersey, 1450. WCTC with the Restaurant Guys.
Hey, back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis from Stage Left Restaurant in downtown New Brunswick, where we are committed to bringing you some of the best food in the country, and some of the best food in the country is often right in your own backyard, no matter where your own backyard is.
So what we did, Francis, is we got rid of that high horse you were on, and
he rode out to sea. It's amazing how we get that high horse.
He rode
in the
out
studio.
To sea. I mixed my metaphors. You didn't even comment.
Just I must be tired. I gave up an opportunity to criticize you. I must be tired. So the website we were talking about earlier is StopLabelingLies.com. Go to our website. We hate them, but we want to use them against themselves. We're like very, very like judo. Is it judo that
you use? Francis is known for hyperbole, but we really do hate them.
I do. I don't even know who they are. They won't let me know. but we hate them, and we want to use their website against them. I want to use their website as a clearinghouse for dairies that are doing good things and not putting hormones in the milk and not using pesticides as much, and we should go to StopLabelingLies.com and do exactly what they say not to do. Super. Okay. On to the next. We're talking about products and how to get good products, and one of the ways to get good products is to buy hormone, non-hormone treated mm-hmm. milk, and that's a great way.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize is, and I believe this, in operating a great restaurant, where you begin, where you start, before you have a talented chef, before you buy nice plates, before you get nice flatware, before you beautify the room, you start with great products.
Sourcing.
And sourcing products is at least half of what we do. Sourcing great products and finding the great farm that's doing something special, finding the great meat vendor who's doing something special, finding the great, dairy farmer who's doing something special, does mean better food. It means better products. It's what we do.
You mentioned Ronnybrook Farms in upstate New York. You mm-hmm. may not think that there's a difference in milk. Well, there's a difference in milk.
Right.
And Ronnybrook Farms makes unhomogenized, beautiful, fresh mm-hmm. milk that goes bad quicker than the ultra-pasteurized stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in glass jars that are returnable and recyclable. You can pick it up at the Union Square Green Market.
And it separates.
And it's expensive. And it separates, but let me tell you something. Drinking a glass of Ronnybrook Farms milk is it's incredible. Making a milkshake with Ronnybrook Farms mm-hmm. milk is incredible. But also, when buying a restaurant, you need to care about price. You need mm-hmm. to say, okay, well, is this worth it? Now, Stage Left is a very expensive restaurant, but that gives us the ability to buy whatever we want.
A lot of latitude.
You know, truffles are $1,800 a pound this year, but you know what? You know, so if you can afford them, if you want them, you got them.
Right.
But Ronnybrook Farms milk is very expensive, and it's a little more difficult to deal with. But we thought about making ice cream with Ronnybrook Farms milk,
mm-hmm.
and why we love that dairy. And I make an Irish cream, like a homemade, like Bailey's mm-hmm. Irish cream, but a homemade Irish cream. That
very
I
good.
My family member.
Oh, I hate to compliment you, but it's very good.
And you really hate to compliment me on anything Irish in particular.
Most hate to compliment you on the air where people are listening.
and I'm recording. But the Ronnybrook Farms milk works super and makes a huge difference in the quality of things like that. When you make it into ice cream,
mm-hmm.
it honestly doesn't make that much difference. And so you need to have the intelligence to say, okay, well, it's worth it to buy the Ronnybrook Farms
sure.
milk here. It's not worth it to use it in that application where it's triple the price.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find out. But we'll put Ronnybrook Farms up on our site as well.
But this is one of those things. My father had a farm in upstate New York that we used to go up to on weekends and work the,
mm-hmm.
the farm. It was 50 acres, but maybe we worked an acre of it. But it was right across the street from a dairy farm.
Mm-hmm.
And having fresh milk, the difference between fresh milk and processed milk is tremendous. And that's where I learned that, is just being there, seeing it fresh out of the cow, and having those flavors, a completely different experience.
And sourcing ingredients is what a great restaurant does, because it's very hard to source mm-hmm. fresh ingredients. I mean, truly fresh and local ingredients. Because around here, you know, you just pick up the phone and you call one of these big food companies.
Right.
And we buy stuff from them, you know, soap. but you call one of the big companies and you say, listen, I want 100 pounds of tomatoes,
right.
30 pounds of beef, 40 pounds of fish, this kind of fish, that kind of fish,
and
polenta.
The Ritter Cisco truck pulls up in front of the restaurant. I was just actually reading a book recently, and a chef was talking about how you can tell what a restaurant's doing in their restaurant. And one of the ways you can tell is, does an 18-wheeler pull up in front of the restaurant and empty and fill it up with product?
Right.
If you see a lot of little vans and trucks pulling up, and you see the chef pulling up with his car, emptying apples out of the back of his car, that's a much better sign than when you see the 18-wheeler with the Roma Italian food coming out and filling up the pizzeria with processed foods.
And it's much more convenient, and it's much cheaper. And you can buy meat and fish that way,
mm-hmm.
too. And while actually sometimes it's a little more expensive or the same price for lesser quality, the quality is always lesser because they have to process it through that,
mm-hmm.
that factory. And you know what? When they get an order for fish, you order tuna from this company. You're getting tuna. The tuna
mm-hmm.
will come. And if the tuna's not so great in the market that week, you're still getting the tuna,
right.
you know? Whereas we go to the fish market, and I think great restaurateurs, we run into a lot of our friends at the fish market. I mean, Mark will get into the fish market at 3 o'clock in the morning sometimes and
mm-hmm.
run into our other band of brothers who are out
sure.
there in Manhattan, you know, talking to the guy, tasting the scallops. Are the scallops good this week?
Right.
And the menu's driven by you know, are the scallops, oh, the scallops aren't so great. I couldn't find good scallops, or the scallops were $1 million. So guess what? We're not going to have scallops this week. We'll have them next week.
But where the ships couldn't go out. And this is what I love. You talk to one purveyor who you know is a trustworthy purveyor, and he says, yeah, there's bad storm this week. The day boats didn't go out at all. And then you go to another purveyor, and he's trying to sell you day boat scallops.
Right, and you're like, how are you selling me day boat scallops if the boats didn't go out?
Day boat scallops from last week? We'll just call it, might as well be week boat scallops, okay?
Week old day boat scallops are not the same as day boat scallops. But what's interesting about sourcing an ingredient, and that's when you go to a restaurant and you hear a waiter talk about, you know, the quail is from the Griggstown Quail Farm, or the foie gras is Hudson Valley foie gras, mm-hmm. or all of that has a very wide distribution. Or in the summertime there are local peaches or Jersey tomatoes, or they name the farm and they name where it comes from. Mm-hmm. That's more than just frou-frou. You know, that's... If they're being honest about that,
it's a sign that they're paying attention to what they're buying from whom, and that it's not all coming from one generic source of products that are weeks old sometimes.
And some of my favorite restaurants now, I think we have a restaurant where we take those great ingredients and we try to do magical things with them. But a lot of, you know, good casual restaurants are the casual restaurants that, you know, they don't do very much to the food. But mm-hmm. they just sort of leave it alone. They get great. It's like that fish shack by the water. You know, they get the great fish and then they leave it alone. I'd much rather have that than a processed
right.
fish.
And don't buy a cheeseburger from them.
Exactly. You're listening to the Restaurant Guys, Central Jersey, 1450. The time is 11:55. Hey, you're back with the Restaurant Guys, Mark and Francis. And we're talking about sourcing ingredients and how do we spend, well, a lot of our time doing that. And we're going to put up on our website when you go, if you want to go check it out, we're going to put up a number of websites where you can go and buy like a chef, where mm-hmm. you can go and get some ingredients.
Why don't we tell people now what some of those sites are?
Well, some of the larger sites, you know, and when there's really a whole show on this, but there's some of the sites where there are companies that they deal wholesale, but you can buy as a consumer. Now, the mm-hmm. problem is you got to buy like 80 pounds of butter, you know?
Yep.
The minimum order is like 1 pound blocks of butter would be the minimum order.
Nuts, and so
co-op with your
pounds,
friends.
Pounds 30. 6 through 30 through 2, right. Not so fresh.
So, well, but here's the deal. One of the reasons that you go to a restaurant is that we have the ability to source ingredients. Like, let's take cheese, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, you can come to a restaurant, people say, well, you know, why would I pay so much for cheese? Cheese is very expensive from a restaurant perspective, and yep. it's very expensive from a consumer perspective. We don't make a lot of money on cheese, but we do charge a lot of money for
right.
cheese. And basically, if you don't have a glass of port with your cheese, it's a wash for us. But people say, well, why would I spend money for a product that you just buy?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is buying these ingredients and caring for them until the moment that you have them.
Until they're perfect.
So we have 20 cheeses on the board, and you can have a little cheese board, and they're all in the perfect stage of ripeness. They're all at room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 20 cheeses in your house, and right. you bring them all up to room temperature every night,
For you to have the perfect cheese board at your house, you have 2 cheeses, and you have them for 2 days.
Right, exactly.
And
that's exactly
and
right.
And so that's why... You come to a restaurant where we can use the fact that there are 50 people buying cheese and that we can have 20 cheeses or 12 cheeses or 10 cheeses depending on the restaurant and how you serve cheese.
And especially in season, one of the things that you can do is go to your local restaurant and when someone says, oh, this is a quail from the Greekstown Quail Farm, say, can you write that down for me?
Mm-hmm.
And then, or how do I get in touch with the Greekstown Quail Farm? Where can I buy some of that stuff for home?
Right.
Because why not? Because these small producers, it's difficult for them to deal with us. It's difficult for us to deal with them, but we're all dedicated to the produce. And a lot of these local farmers would love to know that you're looking for mm-hmm. their product. Now, some of them can't deal with the public. They're just not set up to do that. But sometimes a restaurant will sell you certain products
sure.
to take home.
Sure.
You know, like a piece of foie gras or something like that from a specific farm.
If you're having a special party and there's something like that you want, go to your favorite restaurant and ask them.
But it is about dealing locally from your local producer. And one of the reasons that these people like to get into restaurants and do the extra work to get into these high-end restaurants is because they know mm-hmm. that people like you out there go to a restaurant and you go to several restaurants and you hear that it's in this great, that they're using one particular purveyor and you say, wow, that was great. Yeah, some of it is that the restaurant did a great thing with that. But some of it is that that particular farmer grows really great tomatoes.
Yep.
And why not know the name of that farmer, especially if it's someplace local, especially if you live in the area? I mean, I remember a story when Mark and I were in Paris. We did a 3 Michelin 3-star restaurants in 5 days. And boy, were we tired
fat
at the end of it. Ready for a hot dog at
fat.
The end of that. But in 2 of the restaurants, we saw that they brought out with the Mignardis the chocolates mm-hmm. at the end of the meal. They brought out the same chocolates. Now, some of the chocolates were made in-house and had the name of Alain Ducasse or Amboisie on the on the chocolates. But some of the chocolates were, they looked remarkably similar. We asked the waiter, and he said, oh, the best chocolatier in chocolatier in Paris is Michel Chaudon.
Michel Chaudon.
And Michel Chaudon, we said, well, where is Michel Chaudon? He's like, oh, well, then he gave us a little map. And every time we go to Paris, or anyone goes to Paris that we know.
Here's a rule. If you're going to Paris and you listen to the Restaurant Guys and you want to impress us, bring us back some Michel Chaudon chocolate.
Yeah, but bring your wallet when you go
there.
Okay,
it's on Rue de l'Université, and we'll put it up on our website. It is the finest chocolate that I have ever had anywhere in my life. Spectacular. Never had it reproduced here in the United States. Only good for a few days. I'm sorry. Spectacular for a week, but really special for 2-3 days after it's made. We'll put it on the website. Go to Michel Chaudon and get some of this chocolate in Paris.
It's all about eating locally. It's all about eating honestly. You're listening to The Restaurant Guys. I'm Francis Schott.
And I'm Mark Pascal.
We are The Restaurant Guys. Central Jersey, 1450. Time is 12 noon.